Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 10th of May. It will also be our last Tuesday class of the month because I will be going to Perth and Melbourne for about 16 days with some Kayanamitas. So from the 17th until the 30th, I will be away. So please take note of that. There will be 3 Tuesdays. The class will be off. So let us make full use of what we have today. So we will get ready for puja. I need 6 people to come and light. Okay, NB, you haven't come. You're one of them. Me four. Then, never mind. Come. Then Clifford, you brought the fan. Joyce also, come. Then PG and Jin Hao, 6 of you, come. Help to light the candle. Yeah, can. There are 2 lighter. Start from here. I'll off it from here. Never mind. Chinao, leave it. Never mind, just leave it, Chinao. Where is Clifford? Oh, lighter, PJ? Chinao, you like the incense? Yeah, it's with me. Yeah, no problem. The warranty card also is with me. Sadhu, Clifford, Sadhu, Joyce. Okay. Yeah, come. You can make the offering. Come. Can put it here. Yeah, this is the mango fruit shell. What is that? Okay, there. Just there, in front of Amitabha. Okay, sadhu. Okay, Chinao, come, let us stand. Then we will commence the puja. You offer the tray first. Yeah, come, Sito. Hong, look, kui ho mai ka Sito. No, where you park? Okay, can. Sadhu.
Sadhu, 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 sad
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, we'll offer the rest, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, y'all can be seated, huh? Let us compose our mind, yeah? Develop the faith, sadha, in the triple gem. Then after that, with mind composed, yeah? We develop the virya and siddhi. Then we will start our puja chanting, mindfully. Namo bensi sijia moni fo. Namo bensi sijia moni fo. Namo bensi sijia moni fo. Namo amitofo. Namo amitofo. Namo amitofo. Namo guansing pusa. Namo guansing pusa. Namo guansing pusa. Namo milofo. Namo milofo. Namo milofo. Namo pusien pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suwakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasaṅgho saṅghaṁ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will start the Pali chanting. Namo tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panati Pata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adina Dana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sura Miraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami We will now chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarapadithena Dipena Tamadangsina Diloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonodang Ganda Sambarayutena Dopenahang Suganghina Ujjave Pujaniyantang Puja Bhajana Muttamang Vanna Ganda Gunopetang Etang Kasuma Santatin Pujayami Munindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punnena Matena Cha Hotu Mokang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Vinasa Bhavang Abhivasetu Nobante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigang Hatu Mutamang Adivasetu Nobante Pari parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Okay, we shall now make our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma, that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripa Jaya. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay. You all can be seated. Then we can have our meditation. Huh? Today, I think we got more time. Okay, good. We can have half an hour of meditation. Huh? So, for those who already know how to meditate, please go ahead. I think everybody has been here before, so it's very easy. Just relax body and mind. Huh? Then make sure your mind is silent, quiet. You still need to train your mind because it still has some form of heedlessness or thinking, distraction, born of mental hindrance because spiritual faculties are still not stable enough. Then you need to maybe develop some skillful means to train this mind. As usual, we use the mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness to bring about inner peace leading to inner well-being, so that the heedless thinking can be attenuated or completely stopped. Mind sweeping method is a very good way of deconditioning the heedless thinking because we just feel relaxed, silent. Then when our mind do that, it will stabilize. It will become more and more quiet because we don't think anymore. Then as it stabilizes, the inner peace will be very useful for you to develop the spiritual faculty of sati or mindfulness. Then sati alone without well-being is still of not much use because you need to have a very strong positive vibration within your form, your physical body and mind. So you need to radiate love and metta. And this is a very good way to cultivate loving kindness or metta, to bring about inner well-being, inner happiness, inner joy. When you have joy, inner well-being and inner peace, you can radiate this to other fellow living beings. So meditation is to initially, if you need to, train this mind to develop the inner peace, leading to the inner well-being. Then after that, you stabilize that mindfulness through any of your skillful means. It can be anapanasati or whatever. If your spiritual faculty is already there, you can easily meditate because sati will fall in place on its own. So the key to meditation is the four support. Always remember, relax. Initially, before you start, relax body and mind. Relax into every mind state that arises. When you are able to relax and just silence your mind, you begin to experience the peace within. Especially for those who are not trained, if you are new to meditation, you can just tell yourself, I'm here to train this mind to develop the inner peace leading to the inner well-being. So when you relax body and mind, you just completely let go of all thinking. Whatever thought arises, just let it be and let it pass. After a while, that relaxed state of body and mind will bring about the peacefulness of mind. Then you will realize that when you relax into everything, body and mind relax, you are not worried about thinking. Then it will slowly, slowly dissipate. Then you become more quiet and more peaceful. That's why you relax and just silent. Allow the thought to arise. If you do this with understanding, the thought will settle down. It will become very peaceful after a while. Then you just feel. Mind sweeping method will help. Just feel, relax, feel, relax. Then after that, when it's already peaceful, you just silence everything and stabilize it. If your spiritual faculty is already stabilized or quite well established, then you can go to your object of meditation and just stay there. All of your object of meditation may be breathing, anapanasati or rising, falling, or whatever skillful means that you have developed. They will become more and more subtle, more and more subtle, until it's very quiet, very peaceful. That is the stability of the silent mind. So you can do that. It will stabilize and become pasati. Pasati is a type of tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, or the meditative mind. This will only come about after you have gone through some training. When your spiritual faculty is established, then meditation becomes very simple. Then you just silence everything and just let things be. Then as you silence and maintain the tranquility and stillness, your mind will enter sati. Then meditation becomes very easy. You don't have to do anything technically. You just relax and silence. And when you maintain that silence, that mind is the meditative mind that is very sensitive. It can understand many, many things. How your form and mind arise and pass away, how it functions, how your mind stir and react to sense experience, born of your conditioning, your habitual tendency, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning that you have developed as you go through life. Then in the silence of this meditation, you will come to understand many, many things that you have never really penetrated before. As you silence your mind more and more, the understanding will develop by itself. When you meditate, don't try to know. The silent mind will awaken. You will understand. Do not verbalize, do not conceptualize, just silent, relax and aware, and stay there until it's very quiet and very peaceful. Then later on, you will fall to your mind base. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area. You just silence everything, relax and stay there. Don't have to do anything. As you anchor the mind, this sati become more and more stable, more and more refined until it become pasati. Then this pasati, as you stabilize it some more, it becomes samadhi. But this is not apana samadhi. This is with awareness within, in a relaxed state of pure awareness. So this is upacara samadhi. Before it enters apana samadhi. Initially, if you want to experience apana samadhi, you just let it be. Then allow the mind to develop some form of peace and concentration. You just stay there. Then you can enter into continuous mindfulness or absorption. Then you can experience it, no problem. But finally, you will come to understand, without mindfulness, you cannot develop wisdom. Without mindfulness, you will only experience samatha, meditation. The byproduct of it is you will experience the peace within, the deep stillness, the piti, the sukha leading to the one-pointedness or absorption, where the mind is fully absorbed into apana samadhi. Then there is no thought, there is just the pure absorption. Or those who do one-pointedness, they will go into concentration. That one energy will build up. But you go into absorption, the energy is different. It is not the one-pointedness building up energy on. It also develops energy, but it becomes an absorption. You absorb into that stillness or that silence. And then you become very, very peaceful, like no thought. You can experience them, no problem. But then later on, you will come to realize, in order to develop real wisdom, you need to relax all this concentrated state from apana samadhi out into normal awareness. Especially later on when you come out from the former meditation, you need to develop the daily mindfulness. And at that time, you need to release it so that it's a free mind. So this type of meditation is very different. When you understand, you can develop it. So now I will let you continue with your meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes. to also still want to meditate, you can continue. For those open up slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then always remember, try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. And this is the meditative mind that you need to use to live life, to cultivate the real meditation in the midst of life itself, sati sampajana, or what they call daily mindfulness. Means meditation in the midst of activity, in the midst of life, when your senses are fully operational. That is the one that can give rise to the real wisdom, awakening, the direct seeing. There are times to do formal meditation, but most of the time is to train the mind. After you retrain, the formal meditation is to stabilize it. Then after you have stabilized it, you have to go into the daily mindfulness to develop the insight, the direct seeing. Then after that, if you go back to the formal meditation, it will be very useful. Not until the wisdom is developed, your ability to insight into the three characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, the initial wisdom, your formal meditation cannot stabilize, cannot bring about good understanding. It's only after you have the initial insight that you are able to completely relax and silence your mind, and that mind will naturally fall into the natural state of awareness without thought, on its own, as a free mind. And that is the mind that can lead to samadhi in formal meditation. Then if that wisdom is powerful, penetrative, it will have no thought. Or initially, all of the activity of mind will like slow down until like little or no activity. Then you will experience a moment of stillness, tranquility, silence. Sometimes it's a glimpse, that is the cessation, but your mind completely different. As you go through that cessation, the former mind will know. So that is the sainthood stage. But after you went through that, even for one moment of consciousness, the form of mind will understand is very different. Then during those moments, immediately after you come out of it, you will also see the big difference. Your whole of your nature is different. When you can connect to your true mind, then only it can happen. Then after that, if you continue to develop the stability of the wisdom and the ability to stabilize your spiritual faculty until it becomes balanced, then all the time when you meditate, the mind is different, is the silent mind, the meditative mind. You can enter into that pure samadhi or the pure tranquility state of silent mind anytime, anywhere, even in the midst of life. And then that time when your wisdom already very established, in the form of meditation, it will trigger off. Or sometime in the midst of daily life, first turning or second turning or third turning, it will awaken. Then after that, you will experience Nibbana in the form of meditation. It will extend longer and longer, longer and longer. Then you will understand many, many things. Then later on, as you come out of it, you will start to develop a lot of very profound understanding of the Dhamma. Then it's like whatever truth, when you confront them, you will develop a clear understanding. And that time, the form and mind connected to this understanding is very different. then you will also come back to the level you used to cultivate before from the past. And you will understand many, many things. If you have cultivated before, then you will reach back to your level very fast. You will move through a lot of the stages you don't have to, like normal cultivator, go through again. You will pass through them very fast. Then you can understand many, many things very, very differently, very swiftly. Then as all this stabilizes, the nature become very different. Then you become a great blessing to all humanity, all cultivator, those that have affinity with your nature, they will benefit. Then your nature will be now doing the work of the great beings, ever radiating for the cultivator of the way. Then people can tap your nature, can tap your spiritual faculty, your understanding, your wisdom energy. All this, the cultivator will come to understand as you develop. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation, then pass the mic to Ingbi. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanta.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Ittipiso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vichacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manosana Buddho Bhagavati. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinoheti. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samici patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidam chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahoneyo pahoneyo Dakkhineyo anjale karaniyo Anuttaram punyaketa lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu
Okay, let us pay respect to Tripajam. Badang Pujemi Dhammang Pujemi Sanghang Pujemi Okay. Before we continue with the Diamond Sutta, I got one announcement. Those who came in late, maybe you all miss it. Today, the 10th of May, is our last Tuesday class for the month of May, 2016. The reason being, I'll be away together with a group of Kanamita. We are visiting Perth and Melbourne. So the main reason for visiting Perth was because of Brother Sia and Peng. They invited us over there. And at the same time, we also make full use of the condition to visit. Was it Bohiyana? The Acham Brahms temple is Janagru, Bohinyana also. Anyway, we will also visit a few places or maybe where tourists go. We also have a spiritual trip come to a Then after that, we will break off to Melbourne. Melbourne is more of like individual, personal trip. But because of condition, I supposed to go and inquire whether my second last teacher is still at the center where she used to be for the last 24 years. Because that was the center last time. We went there and helped her to raise the money and bought the center. And I went with another friend, Uncle Ku, to help her look for the place. And that was 1992, I forgot already. So, looks like it's meant to be. Hopefully we can still locate her. Then we all can pay her a visit. She is already 70 plus, near 80 if I'm not wrong. Because when I first met her, I was only about 34 or 35 years old. Then that time she was already 50 or 50 plus. So since that time, at least it's already 20 over years, 24 or 5 years, including the 3 years, it's 27 years. So if she is 50, 60, 70, 77, she'll be about 76 or 77. So that's the reason why I won't be around. So on the 18th until 30th of May, so actually 3 Tuesday class will be cancelled, okay? So you can have your self-practice, yeah? Then you cultivate on your own. You have already have enough understanding. So during this period, put yourself, yeah, to the true test. When without class, how you can maintain that stability of cultivation and understanding. Mm. 3 weeks is good enough. Mm. Then, apart from that, I also got something to share so that you all can rejoice. You look at that new fan. We should thank Clifford, especially him. He sourced for this fan, which is an automatic fan. Then you all as Kayanamitta also should rejoice because we use Kayanamitta fund to buy it. We are going to buy another one for Sui An too. Then Joyce also, she helped Clifford to get all this sauce. Then today they came early to get it fixed. PG and Jin Hao also helped out. So all these are very wholesome. We should rejoice with the wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. At least today, not so stuffy on your side. You feel any better or not? Is the height of the fan too low or you want it to be higher? Okay or not? I find it's okay. If you need adjustment, you let me know. And this one good because I can control with remote control. I no need to switch on and off like last time. And this one is a lot more quieter. So if there can be condition for better environment for you to meditate, we should rejoice. But our Tuesday class, Thursday class, and Sunday class, they are very unique. You enjoy aircon here and Thursday class. But you go Sunday class, Wu Ping Jing Se, no aircon. So that's how you test yourself. I remember during the early days, during the cultivation, we are so used to non-aircon area. Because during the early days, seldom you have aircon. And once a while, if you are lucky, you will go to a place where there is aircon during retreat. But most of the time is normal weather. Whatever the condition is, we need to accord and flow, we need to endure, we need to understand. If you can do all this, you become beautiful. That's why when I travel, I got a lot of joy. Whatever condition it is meant to be, this nature understand. I still remember my first spiritual trip to Australia, 1989, I think, to visit my teacher, Acharyantra. That time, crazy, first time I traveled to Australia, first time overseas trip with my whole family. You won't believe, we spent all the money to buy the plane ticket, fly there. You know where we go to or not? Belbert Farm, 500 over kilometer off Sydney, is a farmland. At night, very cold, -6 degrees, and no proper toilet facility, no proper kitchen also. Nearby, you cannot find any food or what. You cannot buy anything. You have to go. The nearest town is, I think, Port Macquarie, about easily 10 to 15 kilometers away. So that was the condition. Then when we were there, there was so much joy because of the faith and the spiritual faculty. So we could endure all those things. Then the food too, because it was first time we all experienced this Thai food, very different, a lot of spices and all those things. But because of the understanding and the faith, all these were no problem at all. Otherwise, normal mind would have reacted. Why am I so crazy, bring my whole family here? spend so much money, no sightseeing, nothing, having to go through all this, the mind would have reacted. But funny, my two children also love it. They were very young at that time. My son was only 9 years old. Oh no, 7 years old. My daughter was 9 years old. We just went there. And they really liked that place because they were very close to the monk Achayantra. Then Ramananda was also there. Sister Sumitra was also there. Then we had the whole Sangha. It was a Katina offering. So everything came out beautifully. Then even our spiritual trip was the same. Not like now. You got aircon bars. Very nice, very comfortable. Last time, during the early day, no. Then even your Cameron Highland retreat, oh, now it's like very luxurious. 5-star standard. During my time, I remember during the early 80s, the early part of 80s, when I went there, it was cement rendering, very cold, nothing, no hot water, nothing. The toilet condition was not like now. Everything was very basic, very cold. Even your meditation hall there, only half the size, don't have timber flooring, nothing, cement rendering, really cold. Then early morning you wake up, the water also very cold. But that is how we understand the body and mind. That's how we develop wisdom through endurance, through understanding. That's why you go through the old and the new, you get to experience many, many things. Then you need to understand society evolve, transform. Without wisdom, you cannot accord and flow, you will have problem. That's how people got problem, generation gaps and all those things. But with Dhamma, you become more and more beautiful. You not only can fit in, you develop clear understanding of what these things are. And you can still experience them and touch them, no problem at all. So do not blame technology, do not blame civilization, advancement. It is the form and mind that use them. If the form and mind has understanding and wisdom, all this become beautiful, meaningful. That's why the use of all these things is very important. Just like I explained earlier, money is neither good or evil. It depends on the user. The same goes for your thought process. When you use it wrongly, thought become evil. Then it leads to negativity, suffering. And that's what the teaching is all about. That's why we are here to train our mind to develop this understanding so that we not only can accord and flow, we can develop wisdom to insight into all of phenomena so that the phenomena will become very clear to you so that you are not gullible. You are not deceived by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste tactile, felt and think through your thought process. So all of the conditioning, all the views and opinion and duality that thought create, society create, will become very clear to you. Mind make a day, not what you think. That's why the Buddha's teaching is very profound, very beautiful. Mind is a foreigner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So this part is very useful. If you study and cultivate all the Dhamma and yet you cannot understand all this, not much use, because it becomes theory, it becomes knowledge, and knowledge makes you egoic. Knowledge gives rise to a lot of views and opinion, reasoning, rationalization. That is not the path of Dhamma. The path of Dhamma is not about knowledge. It's about wisdom, understanding. Understanding life, understanding who you are, what you are, and what this form of mind is all about, and how you can make use of it to live life, to understand life, and to develop all the cultivation and realization. then all this become meaningful, beautiful. That's why when you realize true emptiness, just like what the Heart Sutta say, then life become beautiful, existence become wonderful. True emptiness lead to wonderful existence. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. So all these understanding are very important. Okay, now we can start. This briefing is useful because the next 3 weeks, you are on your own. So if I don't give you this briefing, you may not be able to develop your focus. Then you may not know how to go through it. Then many of you will come to understand without the class and without this, you will go back to the old way. I don't call it heedless, but your old way. Then you become like not sure about what that cultivation is all about, because you have been conditioned because of the weekly classes and all those things. So seldom do we have a long break, 3 weeks. Most of the time it's 1 week or 2 weeks. So this one, hopefully it will help you. Okay, now we turn to page 1. We will recite the verse for opening a sutta. Turn to page 1, then we will read. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we turn to page 71. We are at page 71. Okay. Maybe we go back one paragraph before. Page 70, last paragraph. If you are attached to the Buddha, then you are attached to the mark of people. If you are attached to the Dhamma, then you are attached to the mark of Dhamma. If you are attached to emptiness, then you are attached to the mark of emptiness. That is not what is called sweeping away all phenomena and living, all mark. Sorry, that is not what is called sweeping away all phenomena and living Omma. If you leave Omma, that is Dhamma. If you cannot leave Omma, you have attachment and your originally existential face. This one is a direct translation from the Mandarin. Pen Lai De Mian Mo means your original nature, but they call it original existential face. Pen Lai De Mian Mo. I don't know why they use the face. Means to identify your nature. Maybe this is your original appearance. Your face. Your native intelligence, the treasure of your household, yourself, nature's prajna cannot appear. So attachment to mark is a very dangerous attachment. That's why this cultivation, Diamond Sutta, is different. When you can cultivate until no mark, then you can realize your true nature, original nature. Then he said your native intelligence means your original wisdom. The treasure of your household, yourself, nature's prajna, they cannot appear when you have mark. So now you see why thought-based meditation, and all those meditation where the self is actively pursuing enlightenment cannot lead you to the real penetrative awakening. A lot of people don't realize that. The ego is so strong. Do you realize that? Even a lot of people cultivate until after long, long time. Suddenly they are being conditioned by one ideology or thought. People tell them, I think you cannot get enlightened because you take the Bodhisattva vow. It blocks you. Then what they do? Fear. Then they say, you must renounce that vow. I tell you, you can be so gullible. then renounce and determine, I want to be enlightened this life. See? You create the atta without you knowing it. The bodhisattva vow is for you to unload the atta, to liberate the egoic mind, so that you understand the form and mind is not you. Form and mind come for the living being. That one is not you. Do not be misled. And don't go and listen to people telling you, this one, this life must get enlightened because of that vow. Like I used to say, whatever that sound logical is always the opposite of the truth. Very logical is what they tell you. I heard this so many times. You know, within my nature, I pity them. Then they even quote certain great monks who did that. So a lot of this depends on your understanding. If you don't have the proper understanding, you gullibly accept this type of viewpoint, then you don't understand the cultivation without monk. That's why you don't go through this type of cultivation. You cannot see through the delusion. That's why during the early day, the moment I hear about that, I knew already it is going to get people confused and entangled. So these are the important teaching that can give rise to profound understanding. So this part which we just went through, I will continue to read. There's a few more sentences. If it cannot appear, is it lost? No, it is not lost. It is simply that you cannot use it. For example, if in a dream you forgot that you are wealthy, your riches are useless. If you awaken from the dream, then even the great thousand world is empty. To what can you attach? So this is wisdom, this is understanding. Some may say, since the Buddha Dhamma is not fixed, why speak of the six perfection and the 10,000 practice? Why say that people should maintain the precept and cultivate blessings? Why is any of that necessary? So these are the questions that people tend to ask. That viewpoint is based on what is the word? What is the word? Deviant. Wow, how many of you are really following? This is deviant knowledge and deviant view. Why? Because people with such attitude harbor attachment in their mind. Rather than attaching to mark, one should rely on the Dhamma in order to cultivate. For example, although the precepts are held, there should be no attachment to the mark of holding them. So now you understand. There is purpose to do certain things, but because there is no mark of a person holding it. If you understand this very important point or not. What is precept? The Buddha said, you undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living being, the first precept. You have to understand it very clearly, you know. When the Buddha say, I undertake the training rule, that I refer to who? That I refer to who? The five aggregate of form and mind. And so, because that one is subject to the law of karma. That's why there is no mark of a person keeping it. But because of the wisdom, you understand that the form and mind is subject to karma. That's why you have a duty. Means this form and mind has a duty. It cannot simply do things. Understand? That's why your speech, action, and thought, you cannot simply arise them. Because the moment you arise them with negativity, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then there is karmic. That form and mind commit evil. That's why it's called the evil root, root of all evil. That's why when you cultivate with this understanding, there is no mark. But most people, how they cultivate?
Buddha admits the precept to me, you know. The monk give it to me, you know. I must keep it, you know. I must not violate it, you know. That fear, that delusion, that precept become what? A burden to that fellow, that person who take it. But he doesn't understand the purpose of precept. The purpose or intent of precept is based on what? Right view with regards to the law of karma. Law of karma actually requires you to do that. That's why the Aryan Sangha, where we chant Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, what does it mean? Of upright conduct or of good conduct is the order of the disciple or the blessed one. Then of good conduct, then rightful conduct, then nyaya patipanno, of wise conduct. The last one is what? Of dutiful conduct. You must perform your duty. Because this form and mind has a duty. It follows nature's law. That's why you cannot violate. So precept is administered to you out of love and compassion for your karmic nature, so that you will not violate the nature's law, so that you will not cause all the evil action, speech and thought process that lead to downfall. It's for your karmic nature, for the future of your form and mind that come. So with this understanding, you cultivate without mark. There is no such thing as a person taking the precept. There is no such thing as a person must not kill and all those things. You undertake the training rule means what? I undertake to train my mind to be ever mindful, to be heedful of the mental intention behind all my actions, speech and thought. That's why I undertake the training rule. I must train myself not to violate all these precepts. Who violate all these precepts? People with the evil roots. That's why you must understand the three evil roots clearly, contemplate and reflect, so that you understand them all. So that when they are within your consciousness, the content of consciousness, you see them, then you arise the four right effort to abandon them. The moment you see them arising, prevent them from arising. Then you must arise the right effort to cultivate all the appropriate virtue which are still not in you. The right thought, right speech and right action. Then the right effort to refine upon all this virtue, perfect them all. And that is how you cultivate. Means it helps you, it assists you, it supports you in your cultivation. It's not meant to be a burden to your life or limit your cultivation. So all this understanding is what the Diamond Sutta talk about, no mark. When you cultivate without mark, you cultivate with understanding. You don't cultivate with the deluded mind, the mundane mind, the conditioned mind, the mind that has a lot of views and opinion of things, the mind that is egoic, selfish. If it's egoic and selfish, how can it break the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion? Where every action, every intention is thought-based, conditioned by your views and opinion. For me or not for me. So good according to who? According to you. That's why you cannot penetrate. That's why the field of merit is limited. That's why when you cultivate without mark, the field of merit is immeasurable. You cannot compare. Even for one lie, you get this right. Is equal to aeons and aeons of cultivation. That's why this teaching is very different. It's not what people think. If you don't go through Diamond Sutta, you cannot understand all this, I tell you. You will still be within the field of thought, arguing here and there, right and wrong. So this understanding is most important. That's why he said, those viewpoints, when people say all those things, they are deviant knowledge and deviant views, because they still attach to mark. They have attachment in their mind. So even precept or thing, there must not be a mark that there is a person holding them. Although one has blessing and virtue, one should not be attached to their mark. You remember? Anuruddha? My mindfulness is perfect. My divine eye is one and one. So what is behind all this thought that arises, all this? The ego, the atta, that's why she cannot break free. She's still not liberated. She knew. Sorry, he at that time. Until they taught him about the teaching of no mark, then only he understand form and mind is form and mind. That's why even to penetrate the first stage of sainthood, sotapanashi, the first factor is to break free from sakayadity, self-delusion. A lot of people thought very easy. Oh, I understand the three characteristics, non-self, not me. Oh, you think you already awakened, huh? Every moment of your action, speech and thought process, the arising of this mind, if it's still with the mark, you are still far from that realization. Because you have to cultivate until you understand this is not you. This is karmically conditional. And the form of mind is just a tool and a vehicle for you to come to this world. You use it, especially the thought, the consciousness and its content, the thought process. You use it. The user of thought is very important. That's why the Buddha teach Noble Eightfold Path. You must have right view to condition the right thought. That's why right view leading to right thought is very important. If the user of thought don't have wisdom, whatever you do will not help you. Before you have wisdom, the user of thought is always egoic and deluded. Now you understand. That's why you have to develop the awakening. So before the awakening, you have to straighten your view. Contemplate, reflect until very clear, then straighten your view. Like the Buddha said, this body of ours, referring to the form and mind, asana, is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. It's not you, asana. For it make up our element, it goes the way of nature. That's why it will get old, it will get sick, and it will die. Because it's not you. Element goes the way of nature. And because this is not you, similarly, mind also not you. All the aggregate we went through, anatta lakkhana sutta, and my direct sharing also same. During meditation, you realize the feeling come and go. You never die. So how can feeling be you? Perception come and go. You never die. Sankara arise and pass away. You never die. Consciousness arise and pass away. You never die. Then how can they be you? That's why the five aggregate, they are all impermanent, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. The moment you attach, cling and hold, suffering will arise. Because that is sakayadity, delusion, grasping, clinging, thinking that it belongs to you. That's why you attach to the form, you worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. You attach to the feeling, you develop suffering. Because you only want pleasant feeling, you don't want unpleasant feeling. So duality arises. When you create duality, you cannot transcend duality. Because these are within the field of thought, within the two polarity of Dhamma. They call it yin and yang. So when you are caught in duality, you cannot see how thought create, like Krishnamurti said, the danger of thought, how thought create and divide. Like the Buddha said, imas bin sati, idang hoti. When this arise, that arise. That is what duality is, yin and yang. When you create one side good, means what? You have a standard. Like that, only good. If it's not like that, automatically the other side happy like that. Then you try to solve this problem that you created. How can you solve? You will go on and argue. Your good according to you is different from good according to another person, from another culture, from another discipline or conditioning. So thought has this power to delude and divide and create all this duality. That's why you have to transcend duality. You walk the middle path.
so that you are not deceived and deluded by what it tells you.
Then you have to see clearly the five aggregate of form and mind. Why it is without mark. Then when it comes to the fourth daily contemplation, because you understand the physical is not you, the mind is not you. That's why you cannot hold, you cannot grasp, you cannot cling, because they are all dependent originating condition arising. Not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grasp onto and cling onto and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That's why you say only the fools lament. For that very body don't belong to you. How can the entity which is condition arising, the five aggregate of form and mind, own anything? That's why he said, whatever you think you own, your physical body, your career, your possession, your loved one, your wealth, your property, they are not what you think. For they were separate from you before you separate from there. If the condition is such, or when your breath stops, everything no longer yours, because you lose your identity. And either way, it will separate from you. That's why when you come empty, because that one is not you. When you go, that one returns to nature. It cannot hold on to anything, because the coming and the going is a five aggregate of form and mind. It's just a segmented form and mind that your coming. This is the one that evolved over the eons and eons of birth and death. Not real, not what you think. No reality. See it clearly, awaken to it. Then contemplate and reflect until it becomes a part of your nature, until you can never be deceived by any of this. And it can happen. That's what happened in 1989 when I went through all this, when I penetrated. Awaken. Then all of a sudden, the nature and the mind, the understanding is so different. That's why that time I don't know what to do, because nobody can understand. I used to tell my wife, I said, no point going to Brickfield anymore. That's why I didn't go to Brickfield for very long, unless there is condition. Then sometimes it's because condition is there, then I go. Therefore, 15 years now, this form and mind, this nature didn't do anything. 89 to 2004 until Yun Chan came. That's why all this is very difficult to explain to people. I still remember that time Yun Chan, after a while, he used to tell me, Pratyu, you are so good, you should go for a retreat. Then I look at him, I just laugh and smile, I said, never mind, you'll go. Because people cannot understand at that time. And who will ever believe you, a lay person like that, can develop that type of training and understanding? But it is not this life. It is the inheritance that comes from the past. That's why this form and mind is different. This one is not what you think. So that's why everybody has this segmented life. That's why this form and mind is not me. You call Brother Teo, yes. But this is the karmically conditioned form and mind, the vehicle and the tool for this nature to come, manifest and fulfill its vow and do all those things that it's supposed to do. Because of condition, because of affinity. Otherwise all this will not happen. Then as it unfolds, it becomes very, very clear and very, very beautiful, very wonderful. That's why last 3 years was fantastic. A lot of things just happened because a lot of things has already ripened. Especially all those conditions that was prepared since I started sharing. The Kayanamita Fund helped you all a lot. Then the sincerity of quite a number of Kayamita,
also make a big difference. And a lot of you all have your past. You may not know exactly at this moment, but some already know. Then when it manifests later on, I tell you, you will be in tears, you will cry for joy, and you will never believe that such a thing can really happen. Yeah. That's why I never underestimate your nature. Yeah. You will never know until it connects. Yeah. Then you will move very fast. Yeah. Many Kayamita has already developed that understanding. Yeah. But they are going through the stages of transformation. Yeah. It will take them a while more to stabilize all this. But once they stabilize, they will become very different. Then they can share with you in their own way, which is unique according to their own past cultivation. Okay, we continue. Huh? I think we have finished that paragraph, isn't it? Okay, I read the last sentence. If one has no attachment, one's merit and virtue exhaust empty space and pervade the Dhammarine. Okay. So, no attachment means without mark, without delusion. But some people say that there is no need to hold precept and will not even hold the five precepts in order to refrain from killing, stealing, committing sexual misconduct, lying, and the use of intoxicant. The Buddha Dhamma is flexible, not fixed, they contended. So my killing isn't killing, my stealing isn't stealing, my lying isn't lying. One who has such great deviant views or knowledge certainly will fall into the hells in the future. Be very careful not to fall into the kind of total emptiness which denies cause and effect by professing offenses are empty, blessings are empty, everything is empty. Just like my classmates say, if everything empty, give me your money. When you justify without understanding, you will do all these things. That's why they will quote the word law. But still say, the real Dhamma is not rigid one, not fixed one, accord and flow one, middle path one. You know what they do? Fifth precept, they say, middle path one. You cannot totally don't drink. They justify middle path. Drink a little bit can, as long as sober. But the moment you touch, you think you are sober, no? Unless it's just for social drinking and you know your limit, then you can with full awareness. But then, if there is a condition that is possible for you not to touch, it's the best. But if you have to, a little bit, don't go and quote me as a bird, you say can, no, a little bit, then you justify. That is because those who can, they can, understand? I try it during the early days. Because when I came out to work, you know, my career, civil engineering, I tell you, first 3 months was really not easy. The moment I went for my first job, because before the government service call up, the first 3 months, I was already given a job when I was in the third year training. The contractor company, Jurutama last time, now IJN. I think there are 4 directors there at that time. I know 3 of them, and 3 of them all like me, especially the first 2. Because under the third year training, Kolas Lengor Bridge, where I met my wife, I was a trainee engineer there. Then the contractor liked me. Then he told me, Theo, when you graduate, immediately you come and see me. We get a job for you. So before I graduate, I wrote him. Then I went to see him immediately after my final year paper. Straight away, they assigned me a job. And I was sent to Penang, where my hometown is in Alostar. So I was in charge of a ready mix factory. Yeah. Then at the same time, project manager for one barrage job. It's a DID. Yeah. It's a dam, a small dam. Barrage, they call it a barrage. That time, 6.4 million is quite sizable. I was put in charge of that one, so I had to run around both sides. And that first job, immediately after I was appointed, because I director, one of them was Lim Yong Kiat, very nice. He used to, like, even Chinese New Year, I used to tumpang his car back, but he also from Alostar. Then the other one is Lim Yong Kiat. Go Chai Kiat. Go Chai Kiat. Then the other one is Lim Yong Kiat, which I report to him when I was in Prai, Phuket Thanga. He was a very nice boss too, and he liked me a lot too. So during that time, he introduced me to the subcontractor, to the transportation, and to the other site staff, everything. And you know, first day introduced, dinner already, you know. Then they come over with all the liquor, the wine, and all those beer, all those things. And I say, I don't drink. Oh, I tell you, kena bambu like anything. How can a civil engineer don't drink? Someone want to become contractor. I say, I cannot drink. Not to say I don't drink. He say, you didn't try, how you know? I say, I tried before. I just don't like the taste, and I just couldn't. Bear my DNA, the slightest alcohol, this one go red or no, like quite cold. Then headache and it's. But then because they came, so I say, okay, I say, just for tonight, I take very little. They say, yeah, put more ice, is it? Then someone teach me the liquor, put 7 out very nice one. I sure know very nice one, because I'm a science student. You know what is ester? Ester, alcohol plus acid become ester. Very good flavor. In the science lab we did before, this one is under organic chemistry. So we put the 7 out. Oh, really? The taste was good. Oh, that night, Kong. When I was about to go home, I felt, wow. That time, haven't really seriously developed the understanding of the Dhamma. 1979. So what happened was, my good karma, I learned from it. Then, sometime, I think, a few months later, government call up. So I escaped. I escaped. Then later on, after the government, I came out to private sector again. But when I was with the contractor, I was very lucky, you know. My classmate got married, I think, very close classmate. He invited me to his wedding, then at the same time immediately go for what they call go for holiday. Honeymoon. Honeymoon. That time we can only afford the cheapest one, no? Bali. Bali. 4 days, 5. Not Bali. Oh, sorry. Where? Indonesia or somewhere. Medan. No. We somehow go to the other place. Lake Toba, yeah. 365 ringgit only. Oh. So I went there. Oh, I tell you, the day before I fly, the night before we went to Penang, Ju Eng Chai, very nice there. I ate that night, kena food poisoning. Then next morning, I went and see doctor at this Pulau Tikus, Adventist Hospital. Wow, that doctor was so confident. I told him, I say, my flight 12 something, I don't think I can make it. He said, why? I give you some medication, you can go, no problem. He said, wow. So I went. Wow, that trip, really. I pity my wife. She didn't get to really enjoy. She need to take care of me. I have to see two Indonesian doctors there. And you know how the doctor work? School table one, like that. No clinic one, no. With a two drawer. It really is primary school on the table, right? Then he checked me with a stethoscope and asked me how. Then I explained, okay. After that, he gave me medication. He pulled from the drawer like that. I tell you, I didn't eat. There is no dispensary, nothing one. No clinic, nothing one. You know, like that. Then the second one, government hospital, slightly better, but also you look at the medication, you're also scared. We are small town. So because of that, lucky, I got this eerie feeling of pain, the type of pain. Not really painful one, but very eerie one, you know, associated with death. Yeah. And that was the second time. Later on, I came to know my nature, together with Kuan Yin's nature, helped to clear the thing. Yeah. I almost died that time. They call Chi Mo Teng. I also don't know what the thing is. Actually, I kena that. No. Not shingle. No. Typhoid. Typhoid. And it's very serious. Because diarrhea and it make you miserable. but I can endure no, that time. Very funny. No. So what happened was, after that, I endure until I came back. Then I still drive back from Penang to Alostar. No. But I was so tired. No, so fatigued. I knew I straight away have to, before I even went home, I drive straight into GH, Alostar, General Hospital. I knew my classmates were there. Three of my classmates came down. I said, what the hell are you doing here? I said, I don't know. I went to Penang, then I cannot this, then I went to Lake Toba, worse. Oh, then they want me. 5 days, no, they do all the check, everything. Check micro urine, everything. Even urinary tract infection. All negative. Then, the fifth day, they told me, if after this fifth day, the pain's still there, we also don't know what to do with you. Luckily, on the fifth day, the pain miraculously disappeared. Then I came back. Then for 3 months, I was very weak. Well, very, very weak. Even as I drive back from Alastair to PJ, my brother and my father asked somebody to accompany me. And that person had to take a bus back after that. But I managed to drive all the way. Right? Then for 3 months, I was very weak. Then something happened. Then I fully recovered. Then there was one night, I remember. Middle of the night, I wake up. My whole chest here. The whole chest here, with a diameter of about 6 inches. Full of scale. No? Scale. One piece on. Big piece on. Oh. Very thick one, like fish scale, but very thick one. I should have kept it. I straight away clear everything and flush it in the toilet, middle of the night. From that moment onward, I fully recovered. Then later on, I went for meditation and everything. Then I met my second last teacher. Then I checked with her. I said, I got this experience. Then she checked. He said, you're very lucky. He said, your nature together with this nature help you clear the thing. That's why you must have this blessing, protection and guidance. Otherwise, this form in mind, very fragile. The first time I was 8 years old, remember, the swimming. Then second time was this one. Then there were other incidents, but I can't remember. I remember 3 times. Otherwise, this form of mind will have gone. So, all this is what the cultivation is all about. So, when it comes to alcohol, the best was after I admitted and voila, then I took leave 5 days, people know in the office. Then I come back. From that day onward, nobody forced me to drink. Because I said, doctor's advice, cannot touch alcohol. Until today, very good. That's a good karma blessing in this guy.
After that, nobody asked me to drink. Oh, tio, shit cha. Chinese tea. Last time, wow, they really come and yam sing with you, and I tell you, it's part of the industry, yeah? Crazy industry. Yeah. Then after that, when people understand, I felt so good. For the first time, they examine me. Even my transporter, my subcontractor, they said, atium yam taka. Oh, that was a good one. That was a real good one. Okay, we better go on. So all these are wrong view. When they try to justify using the words, but they are not serious about cultivation. It's just like when you keep your precept, you try to justify. Like especially those who work for the government, they say this one government one, like taxpayers' money, free for all, so can misappropriate. So a lot of them, they justify in many ways, and sometimes they say, "I'm not cheating, I just borrow first, then after that I return, Then there are a lot of other way where people justify their precepts because they have their views and opinion of things. Then they always justify, if it's not because of me, you think he can be so rich today. That's why I take a little bit from him, okay one. as if, all this. But I can tell you, not worthwhile one. Every dollar you take, recorded on. Then it depends on who you take from. Sometimes you have to pay a lot. But sometimes, if those people are also not cultivated, not really developed in their cultivation, then the karma is not so serious. But the best is don't try all these things because you never knew who you cheat. That right living, right? You all call right livelihood, I call it right living. That power factor is very important. If you really keep that one very well, you sure progress very fast. You fatal, I tell you. But you got deceitful intention, and you don't keep the right living properly, you never knew one day who you offend, who you scold, and who you cheat and deceive. If you happen to meet one real cultivator, I tell you, you have to pay through your, I don't know what they call it, through your nose also not serious enough, don't know how long. And sometimes the karmic obstruction can be very severe, because you don't know how all this come about. That's why during one of the early life Sakyamuni, before he was a Sakyamuni Buddha, long ago, he scolded the Pachika Buddha. He abused him. He didn't know he was a Pachika Buddha. He did that. That's why when he became the Samhasam Buddha, he also kena chincha incident. People also say all those things back to him. You reap what you sow. Then there was one life, I remember, it was mentioned in the Jataka. When he was very young, he saw people offer a thing to the monk. He was a kid, he didn't know. He took sand and put it into the bun. And that monk was also a Pachika Buddha. That's why he kena that horse food before he parinibbana. He had to pay back and all this thing because condition is there for things to manifest during his last life as a Gotama. Siddhartha Gautama. So all this, we need to be very mindful. Precepts are very important. That's why it has a lot of advantages. Precept is a source of spiritual happiness or joy. And precept is a source of spiritual wealth. Hence precept, if you keep them, is a source of peacefulness. That's why we chant, during the administering of precept.
si le na sukanti nyanti. Then si le na bhoga sampadan. So all this is for you to remind yourself. Precepts are very important, never worthwhile to violate. And precept is the source of peacefulness of mind, source of joy and happiness, and source of spiritual wealth. And you can keep your precept well, samadhi will kick in. That's why the meditation starts with sila, which is precept. Then samadhi will kick in. Then with sila and samadhi, you will awaken. You will become wise. That's why panya is the outcome or fruition of sila and samadhi cultivation. Okay, now we finish chapter 8. We go to chapter 9. Chapter 9. I will read to you the other version. Buddha then asked, "What do you think, Subhati? Does one who enter the stream?" This one very interesting. From the enlightenment, say, "I have entered the stream." This is the one. This is the chapter. No, Buddha, Subhati replied, "A true disciple entering the stream would not think of themselves as a separate person that could be entering anything. Only that disciple who does not differentiate themselves from others, who has no regards for name, shape, sound, odor, taste, touch, or any quality, can truly be called a disciple who has entered the stream." The Buddha continued, "Thus a disciple who is subject to only one more birth said to him, 'I am entitled to the honor and reward of a once returner.'" This one is a Sakadagami. Then he continued. Subhati said, "No, Lord. Once to be reborn is only a name. There is no passing away or coming into existence. Only one who realizes this can really be called a disciple." Subhati, thus a venerable one who has never ever, who will never, why the English are there? Who will never more be born as a mortal, say to himself, this is the arahana. Anagami means to the sensual realm. "I am entitled to the honor and reward of a non-returner." No, perfectly enlightened one, a non-returner is merely a name. There is actually no one returning and no one not returning. Tell me, Subhati, does the Buddha say to himself, "I have obtained the perfect enlightenment"? No, Lord, there is no such thing as perfect enlightenment to obtain. If a perfectly enlightened Buddha were to say to himself, "I am enlightened," he would be admitting that he is an individual person, a separate entity or a personality, and would therefore not be a perfectly enlightened Buddha. Subhati then said, "Most Honored One, you have said that I, Subhati, excel among thy disciples in knowing the bliss of enlightenment, in being perfectly content in seclusion, and in being free from all passion. Yet I do not say to myself that I am so, for if I ever thought of myself as such, then it would not be true that I escape ego delusion." See? Sakayaditi, self-delusion. "I know that in truth there is no Subhati, and therefore Subhati abides nowhere, that he neither knows, nor does he not know bliss, and that he neither free from nor enslaved by his passion." So this is one version. We look at Suen Hua's version. Chapter 9, page 72. "Subhati, what do you think? Can a Sotapanna have the thought, 'I have obtained the fruit of Sotapanna'?" This English is better. Subhati said, "No, we'll honor one." And why? A Sotapanna means one who has entered the flow, and yet he has not entered anything. He has not entered form, sound, smell, taste, tactile object, or mental construct. For that reason, he is called a Sotapanna. So this is a short version. of chapter 9. Oh, they still got. It's not finished. they continue. After that, Sakadagami, Anagami. Then, finally, is the Arahan. You turn to page 76. Subhanti, what do you think? Can an Arahat have the thought that I have obtained Arahanship? No, World Honor One. And why? Actually, there is no Dhamma called an Arahat, World Honor One. If an Arahat had the thought, I attain Arahanship, that would be attachment to self, to others, to living being, and to alive, World Honor One. The Buddha said that in my attainment of the non-three samadhi, I am the foremost among men, that I am the foremost Arahan free from desire, World Honor One. I do not have the thought that I am an Arahan free from desire. If I had the thought I attain Arahanship, then the World Honor One could not say Subhati is the foremost of them who delight in practicing Arana, seclusion. Since Subhati actually has no practice, he is called Subhati who delights in practicing Arana. Okay. This one, I think, next month, not next week, next month, we continue. So this one is a very interesting chapter. You go back and read. But the way they explain it is not so clear. Not so clear. I don't know about Shen Hua's commentary, but I also haven't really read through. When we come back in June, we will go through. But the actual understanding, like I used to explain to you all, that one is more profound and more direct. You understand the difference between what they have actually described to you through this chapter 9 of the Diamond Sutta. They just use word, understand, to explain that there is no such thing. But they didn't explain to you why it's like that, why they cannot have that thought. Because they didn't explain the five aggregate of form and mind, which is condition arising causal phenomena. And that one is not you. That one is impermanent, lead to suffering and empty. That's why all those who awaken, they will know this one is not them. Where this one is a segmented form and mind, karmically conditioned out. This is the actual explanation. That's why you cannot have that thought. You cannot have that delusion. Because you know very clearly, this one is never, never you. And that nature is not a being, not a person. Even your true nature, it cannot come out and live life. Now you understand the reason why that green book is very important. Who are you? What are you? You must read that. Because that nature cannot come out and live life. So within the nature's law, the boundary condition for you to come to this existential world, which is the universe, you need the law of karma. You need a karmic nature. Then this law of karma, through this karmic nature, you must have the understanding for it to condition out a form and mind for a being to come. And this form and mind is your vehicle and tool to come to this universe. And this is your segmented life, which is not you. But this one is subject to karma. So far, nobody has that understanding to teach like that. That's why Maitreya knew. He said, 请你把正法传下去. This is the actual understanding, and it has been lost for very long. Because through all the commentary and the interpretation, people cannot explain. Like the dependent origination, you remember? Three periods of time. Why? Because they cannot explain the moment to moment one. That one, you know where they go wrong. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Because they cannot explain the third link. Sankhara paccaya viññānaṁ. They cannot explain. Mind as an organ. They cannot explain. Understand? Because
avijja, depend on ignorance, you create mental activity that they go and call this karmic volition, no? That condition, rebirth, consciousness. Yeah, like that, very logical, very easy to explain. But that one occur once over three lifetime. That type of dependent origination, no point. But the actual one is, your mind is also an organ. So when you think, sankhara is mental activity, when you think, you make contact with the mind, which is an organ. That's why it arises mental consciousness. That one is the pure mental consciousness, vijnanang, before you input the content. The moment you input the content, it becomes namarupang. They cannot explain this. That's why they have to come up with a logical answer. So this thing also same, the Diamond Sutta. They cannot explain all this, so they use all those words. You know what other word they use there? Just how it was mentioned. They always use this word, is it? Does a disciple who is subject to only one more rebirth say to himself, I am entitled to the honor and reward of a once returner? No, Lord. Once to be reborn is only a name. They always say like that. There is no passing away. There is no coming into existence. Only one who realizes this can really be called a disciple. Then towards the end also, he said the same. Subhati then said, most honored one, you have said that I am Subhati, excel among thy disciple in knowing the bliss of enlightenment, in being perfectly contented in seclusion, and in being free from all passion. Yet I do not say to myself that I am so, for if I ever thought of myself as such, then it would not be true that I escaped ego delusion. This one, Subhati, is wise. He knows the sakayadity is still there if he say that. I know that in truth there is no Subhati, and therefore Subhati abides nowhere. This explanation is what they interpret as commentary, you know. The actual thing is not like that. That Subhati is the form of mind, understand? That life. That fire aggregate of form of mind, that life. He is right in saying that there is no Subhati, understand? And therefore Subhati abides nowhere, because that is a condition, an arising entity, not a permanent and changing entity. So this one was not explained. It just say no Subhati, and therefore Subhati abides nowhere. And he neither knows nor does he not know bliss, and that he is neither free from or enslaved by his passion. So these are only words. But the actual one is that fire degree of form and mind is not him. That is the real one. Karmically conditioned out form and mind for you to come this world. You can go and check the whole internet. Nobody teach like that. Nobody has that type of understanding. So in a similar way as the dependent origination, you have to understand the Diamond Sutta this way. Even though there is no mark of a self, living being, and all these things, but there is such thing as the existential world, the conditioned world, that recognizes karma, that recognizes form and mind. There is such thing as right duty, law of karma. That one recognizes relationship, not what you think. He know you, he know me. That is ultimate truth. That's why you cannot use ultimate truth to justify existential world truth. If you think that way, you will get into trouble. You think you already connect with the wisdom, no karma, you can do what you like. You try and do and say, as long as the form and mind commit, there is karma. But the wisdom, the real awakening is different. Once that one has connected to the form and mind will never, never be deluded anymore. That's why it cannot do all those things anymore. Then, correct, the form and mind is incapable of negativity. But before you have that type of realization, through your knowledge, you think you already that one. You think you already no more karma. That's why a lot of people don't understand. Even arahant, after they become arahant, the past karma, if there is condition, it will still arise. But they will not suffer anymore, understand? Because they are not deluded anymore.
They say two of the arahant immediately after enlightenment go to death by the cow. Then even the Buddha after his full enlightenment, he also need to go through certain karmic friction, chincha incident and all those things. So all this is what nature's law is all about. It is for the form and mind. The form and mind is still subject to it. But the mind that is liberated is not affected by it. Okay? So this is a very important understanding. So with this, I think the month of May will be a good month for you to take home all this understanding. So develop the understanding and cultivate accordingly. Then contemplate and reflect until very, very clear. Then your cultivation become very different. Then you develop the cultivation with understanding. It becomes so different now. And you are incapable of doing things like last time already. Because you know no more reality. He know you, he know me. Not like that one. It's not worthwhile to violate all these things. Because nature's law is nature's law. You cannot be fearful. Form and mind is duty. That's why of rightful duty, of right duty, is the order of the disciple or the blessed one. You don't go and think, I got the Dhamma already. Not subject to all these things already. I no need to keep precept already. I am above the law. You go and have this type of thought, the I still so strong. You still think you already above all this. The one that has the understanding is different. It realize through emptiness. Then this form of mind, they are very clear. It has got nothing to do with that. But this is a very important vehicle, beautiful, for this nature to come, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. That's why this nature can live using this form of mind. That's why the third phase of Dhamma is what? Pativeda. What is Pativeda? You get to reap the fruit of your hard work, your culture. And this is the most beautiful part of your life. And that is true living. And it can arise. If you connect early, realize early, then you got many, many beautiful years. Like the Buddha is 35. He got 45 years now until 80. Hopefully this one also until 80 and now. So whatever it is, this form of mind has its condition. But it has its beauty, really, really. For the past 27 years already. This form of mind really beautiful. Beautiful. It's just like in the worldly sense. Let's say if you achieve financial freedom, money is no more a problem. So you still have the health. You are still not that old. You can still travel and use your wealth. So this is like very beautiful to you, isn't it? Life is really meaningful, isn't it? When you have the means to travel and experience all the good life and the good food and all. This is materialistically. It's already so wonderful, isn't it? You don't have to worry about money. You can do what you want in the money. And you can experience the beautiful civilization of nowadays. And you can actually get to buy a lot of good things. But then you add in the spiritual understanding, I tell you, you are the most beautiful being, most blessed. You not only have the means, the wealth, the materialistic success, you also have the spiritual understanding to complement this. And you no more suffering, no more all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Your mind is always happy, peaceful, and free, no matter what happened to the world. So that is even more beautiful. That's why the third phase of Dhamma is really, really beautiful. Okay, you got 2 minutes. Any question? Wow,
my wife 10:30 now alarm. Very good. Otherwise, I always overshoot. Now, very nice. Any question? I can take one, maybe. Anybody got any question? Oh, don't have, then we break for 3 weeks. Then you have to write down your question. Okay, we do our sharing on merits, transfer of merits. Then we end. We chant in Pali, save some time. Akasata ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sape deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. And let us not forget, today I think Li Hun's mom passed away. We all do some simple sharing of merits and transform merits for the mom, and also to all beings. Okay, let us compose our mind, recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus, and maybe arise the understanding to rejoice with all this wholesomeness. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And may all this wholesomeness, together with our rejoicing merits, pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all these merits to be shared by all beings throughout the entire existence, including Li Hun's mom, by virtue of her condition as Kayanamitas with us. The Kayanamitaship has been great for her, and she actually rejoiced on many occasions when I met up with her, and also from Li Hun's report. So, being Kayanamita, we shall all share and transfer all these merits to her, and in whatever realm or existence she may be, may she be well and happy always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within her heart. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem to be always with her, so that she can also have this good realization of the Buddha Dhamma, so that she will have the good life in whatever realm of existence she may be from now onward. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then may all beings to share and rejoice in this wholesomeness. May the blessing of the Triple Gem to be with all beings. And we like to thank all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas for their blessing, protection and guidance. And may they continue to bless, guide and protect our nature. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you may pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
She will be sending out the message.
No problem. No problem. Okay. Okay.